think I'll actually just jump in. It's probably better to just learn by doing than me explaining. And we'll have a Q&A right afterwards. So let's start with like a 30-minute practice, and then we'll open it up for Q&A and go from there. I don't have a bell with me because I'm traveling, so we'll kind of start and end without bells, basically. Take a moment to stretch up and settle in. No matter what object you're focusing on, it's always productive to start with establishing proper meditation posture. So let's do that. Take a moment to relax the legs. They often have to bear weight, but they don't right now. Most of us are sitting. It's kind of nice. Appreciate that. You can let the legs fully relax. Let the pelvis, your hips be heavy. The relaxed legs and the heavy pelvis provide a sturdy foundation for the practice. And from that sturdy foundation, allow your spine and neck to be tall and straight. Tuck in your chin a little. And while maintaining an erect back and neck, you can let the rest of your body relax. Relax the shoulders and arms. Relax the hands. Relax the face. And we'll begin by focusing on the breath. So bring your attention to the physical body sensations associated with breathing. You may feel air coming in and out of your nose. You may feel your chest or belly expand and contract with each breath. Well, if you're free to focus on any of those, either of those things, the air coming in and out the nose, the expansion and contraction of the chest or belly. Just remain focused on the physical body sensations associated with breathing. If you get distracted by thoughts, sounds, or body sensations other than the breath, that's okay. These distractions, these other experiences don't have to go away. Just allow them to come and go in the background without push or pull. This develops one of the core skills of meditation that I call balance. Some people call it equanimity. It's very important. It's not meditating. Allowing stuff to come and go in the background is a specific skill that you can develop over time. So if you find that you're distracted, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's an opportunity to practice a skill. Allow that to come and go in the background without push or pull. And gently return to the feeling of the breath. Good. Now take a moment to check in. We've all probably been distracted at least a little bit. So ask yourself, what were you most distracted by? And this doesn't have to be exact, it can be a guess or it's fine. But what type of experience have you been mostly distracted by so far? There are many ways to categorize sensory experiences, a lot of ways to slice the pie. I'll offer a relatively simple framework, though. So, if you had to say, what were you most distracted by of the following categories? External visual sight, so like what you see with your eyes. sounds around you in your environment, physical body sensations other than the breath, mental images, mental talk, or emotional body sensations like fear, anger, or joy. So I'll say those categories again. It's just one way to classify our sensory experience. It's pretty comprehensive, though. So if you had to say, which category does your distraction fit into the best? You have sight, sound, physical body sensation other than the breath, mental image, mental talk, or emotional body sensation. There's six different options. Three outer, three inner. You have outer see, hear, feel, and inner see, hear, feel. Once you have decided which type of sensory experience you were most distracted by, we'll switch up the technique and focus on that for the next few minutes. So we're going to switch the object of meditation from the breath to whatever was distracting you the most. For example, if sounds in your environment were distracting you, you'd focus on the sounds of in your environment now. If you're distracted by bursts of mental talk, you'd actually focus on whatever mental talk happens to happen over the next few minutes. Emotions in the body, you just track the emotions in the body. So I was saying in the intro, there's a wide variety of sensory experiences in the human experience, and you can use any of them as objects of meditation. So let's spend a few minutes focusing on whatever drew our attention. Sight, sound, physical body sensation other than the breath, mental image, mental talk, emotional body sensation. Choose one of those and place your attention there. Focus there. Sometimes when you go to focus on an experience, it goes away. For example, you may have been distracted by sounds, but then the sound stops. Or you were distracted by a bunch of mental images, but then there's no more images when you go to look there. It's very common with mental talk. When you listen for mental talk, it doesn't really arise. This can happen in any of the spaces, any of the options. So, what to do if that happens? There are many things you could do. What I'll suggest is you just focus on the corresponding restful state. If you do that, you always have something to focus on. So, for example, if sound was distracting you and then the sound disappears, you could just focus on the physical silence in your environment as an object of meditation. It might be a little awkward. It might require some guessing and groping. That's fine. Just do your best. If you were distracted by mental talk, but then the talk goes away, you could focus on mental quiet. What exactly is it like to have a quiet mind? You can clarify any of these restful states. You had emotions, then more emotions. There's emotional peace in the body then. Those are some examples of active and restful states. So, no matter what, you always have something to focus on. Either that thing that distracted you will still be there, you can focus on it if it goes away. Just focus on what's left, which is the restful state. Good. Once again, if you get distracted, it's okay. Those other experiences can come or go in the background. You don't really care. They're like a guest that you give them the keys and say you can come and go as you wish. I'm going to be over here focusing on my object of meditation. You can come and go whenever you want. And as you focus on your object of meditation, clarify that experience. Notice the details of it. Get to know it. If you're focusing on a sound, where is it in space? Is it changing in any way, like getting louder or softer? If you're focused on mental talk or the absence of mental talk, like I was saying, where is that in space? Clarify it, get to know it. When does the talk begin and end? When does the mental quiet begin and end? There's lots of ways that you can clarify your experience. Tune in to your object of meditation. Good. Now, take a moment to check in about how much time have you been concentrated versus distracted. If you've been concentrated for most of the time, you could say 80%, roughly, you're welcome to just stick with the current object of meditation. The algorithm has worked. You're pretty concentrated. However, if you're concentrated less than 80% of the time, once again, consider which type of sensory experience has been pulling your attention the most. The options include sight, sound, physical body sensation, mental image, mental talk, emotional body sensation. Six categories. And again, if you have been significantly distracted, feel free to switch once more and focus on whatever distracted you the most over this second part of the session. That's now your object. Everything else becomes distraction. Part of what we're learning here is what is object of meditation and what is distraction is somewhat up to you. It's somewhat arbitrary. There's many ways you can set it up. It's not like thoughts are distraction and the breath is focus. That's too simple. If you're focusing on thoughts, then the breath is a distraction, right? It's a lot of ways to practice. So, if you've been mostly concentrated, feel free to stick with whatever you are focusing on. If you've been pretty distracted, feel free to switch once more. Once again, the options are sight, sound, physical body sensation, mental image, mental talk, emotional body sensation. Go with that for a little bit. Ignore jokes. Can gently open your eyes. Wiggle the body a bit. We'll transition from the guided meditation part to a Q&A. So, as George was saying, feel free to raise your Zoom hand. You could also raise your hand in your camera and I might see you. I can usually pick up on that. And yeah, any questions about what we did, anything you didn't understand, or also practice reports. So, just what happened. You just report what happened, and that can be really interesting for everyone to hear and to share with the group. So, yeah, questions or comments, feel free to share. Yeah, Leslie, can you? Yeah, I just asked you to unmute, so now you can unmute.
Yeah. Sorry. Hey, Toby. Glad to see you
Hi.
today. This was something completely new and different for me. Although I am familiar with Mr. Young's technique. And I have to admit, it was difficult. I started out concentrated on the breath. My distraction, as always, was mental talk. Luckily, I was talking about my experience meditating, so it wasn't completely off the wall, but I wasn't talking to me. I was talking to somebody else. So, and the first experience, you said, just be aware of that and then change your focus of concentration to your talk. And I wasn't sure how to do that. So I said, well, I'll just continue talking to him, about my meditation experience. And it was talking to somebody, a neighbor of mine, who has not asked for my advice on meditating. And then I got antsy in my body. I got uncomfortable. I wasn't comfortable focusing on the mental talk. I've been taught before that I'm supposed to be distracted. I'm supposed to come away from that. So I wasn't comfortable with that. So the second part, I started to get antsy. And then when you said, well, focus on what your new distraction is. So I focused on my body, feeling needed movement. And I actually ended up having to close my video and get up and move around a little bit. You know what I mean? So that was just my experience. Any guidance would be helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for sharing. It's a really interesting report. So yeah, a few things come to mind. Okay, the first thing that comes to mind, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is the whole kind of vision for this session is to give you options and empower you to practice the techniques that you like. So, if you like focusing on the breath and doing any of this other stuff doesn't work well for you, then I'd encourage you're welcome to continue to focus on the breath. That would be the first thing I would say. It's a great object of meditation. There's a reason that it's so popular. Personally, I spend a lot of time focusing on the breath, actually. The second thing I would say is you're right. It's very uncommon. Learning how to focus on your mental talk is a skill unto itself. And many of the people on this call who have done some of my other trainings know that we could do a whole session just on that. And so there's lots of specific tools that I could give you in terms of how to actually do that. And I'm not surprised that it was a struggle. I guess what I'm trying to say is if you asked most people out of the blue to try focusing on their mental talk, they wouldn't really know how to do that. It can be a very difficult technique choice, but it is possible. And so here are some practical things that you might experiment with implementing and it might make it a little easier. One is don't intentionally create mental talk. It sounded like you intentionally talked to yourself, or I guess you were talking to someone else. So my suggestion would be to really just sit there, and it's kind of like listening to sounds in nature. It's like, oh, the birds are chirping. I'm not really controlling that. So you just wait for talk to organically arise. You're not intentionally thinking about something. The second thing is you can use mental labels. So mental labels are just words or phrases that you can say that name what's happening. So you can use just two simple labels, hear and rest. You say hear if you notice mental talk, and you say rest if you don't notice any mental talk. It kind of gives you something to do. So you're not just kind of like there trying to track this weird amorphous thing called mental talk. It's like, all right, my job is to say either hear or rest, depending on what's happening. And then you say that every few seconds, right? So it's not like, so you go, for example, hear, rest, rest, hear. So whatever ends up happening, you just say the corresponding label. And you can say that out loud, actually, spoken labels. Can really help you stay concentrated, actually. You can also say them to yourself as a form of mental talk. That's kind of confusing. I'll leave it there for now. I don't want to get too deep down this rabbit hole. But honestly, to start, I would suggest doing spoken labels. Just speak, hear, or rest every few seconds, depending on what's happening. You don't care what happens. And again, as I was saying, it's totally fine if a lot of activity happens or little activity happens. If the talk runs away and doesn't come back and you're just saying rest the whole time, that's fine. If you end up jabbering your way to yourself, that's also fine. The last thing I would say is, so this is a little edgy. So roll with me for a second, okay? While it's true that it can be, while it's true that it's really helpful and good to focus on the breath, the whole, as George was saying at the beginning, my whole frame of teaching, this isn't the case for all teachers, but the North Star of my style is to help you develop positive feedback between your practice and your ability to be effective in the world. Guess what you need to be effective in the world? You have to be able to think clearly. And so to have thought be something that's separate from your concentration and your insight, it makes it very difficult to integrate the mindfulness that you're learning. If thinking completely throws off your whole practice, it makes it very difficult to integrate this into your daily life. It's incredibly helpful, specifically for integrating, if you can learn to meditate on the thoughts as they arise. Because then you can go about your life, you can think, and you can actually meditate on those thoughts as they arise. It allows you to, we want to be able to maintain mindfulness even when thoughts are happening, and that can't throw us off. So I guess that's a lot. I'm trying to like throw a little sprinkle on some inspiration in there.
Yeah.
So any reflections? Is any of that helpful?
No, that was very helpful. That last, but the edgy part was actually very helpful.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful, good. Good job, Leslie. Thanks for the report.
Thank you.
Next, you're welcome. Next, we have Donna. Good to see you, Donna.
Hey. So, just a report. So since I was listening to music earlier today and playing music, that was what I was focusing on, just the sounds that I heard. And then at some point I was focusing on external sounds. And then I was like, what is the difference between internal and external in some ways? Because you're just processing what you're hearing. So I thought that was interesting, but yeah, just sounds.
Yeah, it's a wonderful insight. As I was kind of saying with Leslie just now, actually, like, you can learn to listen to mental talk as if it were a sound in nature. And that's love. That's wonderful. I mean, obviously you could, you know, there are sound waves and one of the, you could talk about the difference between the two experiences. I'm not going to go too mystical schmystical, but yeah, from a certain perspective, it's all just hearing. Right. And so I would say that that's an example of this insight is really about experiencing a union of inside and outside, right? Mm-hmm. So there's not as much of a separation of the outside world and your, you could say, inner self. That usually can come with a sense of relief. So I guess I'm wondering, relief or joy. I guess I'm wondering, when you had that insight, did you notice any reward flavor, any relief or joy that came with that?
Yeah, I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Great. So create a positive feedback loop between the reward flavor and the insight. So notice how that's kind of relieving and interesting. Cool, as you say, and allow that to motivate you to clarify these experiences even further, like give more of your mind and body to the practice, whether that's focusing on the mental talk or the sound, just give yourself more to the practice and allow that insight to deepen, which allows the reward to increase, and you just create kind of a snowball effect, as I like to say. So yeah. Any final thoughts?
No, just that sound's my favorite vocal.
Amen. Yeah, me too. I spend a ton of time focusing on sound, especially with music. Music is great. All right, I'll see you in a few days. Donna's doing a retreat with me. We're doing a multi-day retreat next week, which will be fun. And we're going to do Mind the Music sessions, which is when we explicitly meditate. Margaret knows those. Yeah, from Soryu. Yeah. That's great. All right, cool. Thanks for sharing, Donna. Next, we have RP. I think I just asked you to unmute. Yeah, there you go.
Thanks. Thank you for that. I've not done anything like that before. I just wanted to share my experience and get some insight from you. So, that my first distraction was being lost on thoughts. And then when you said, pay attention, there were no thoughts. And then I got lost on thoughts again. And then I became aware of my thoughts. And then I was like, okay, what are the flavor of these thoughts? And I noticed a doing comparison, judgment thoughts of others, and thoughts on myself about how to be better. And then they all tangled into one like fuzzy, contracted feeling in my head. And then a judgment, like not liking these thoughts because I was judging them as not good thoughts. And then the distraction, and I noticed that I was, that feeling was moving from my head to other parts of my body. So like an emotional feeling in the body. And then you said, what's the distraction? And so my distraction was the emotional feelings in my body. So I focused on those and they morphed, moved around. And then I noticed more relaxing feelings in the body. And so the distraction to not like, well, in effect, not the distraction, but it felt like a distraction. The thing that was taking me away, I was flipping between the uncomfortable, but there's also this comfortable feeling that's quite nice. And then at the end, so I was playing around with those two, and you were like, end of practice, and I was like, I really wanted to stay with that. I wonder if you to the lady who was speaking to Leslie, you said you mentioned something, and I was wondering, is this thinking? Oh yeah. So when I became aware of the thinking, the fuzziness, the contraction in my head, the potential like overwhelm of not wanting to feel like these thoughts, they're not my thoughts. I was wondering if I was how I was how to be with it skillfully. Is an example of is this type of is this type of is this what I was doing an example of throwing myself off my practice? And then also your views on being effective in the world, and you talked about thoughts in that respect. So I'm this is very new, this exploration of thoughts for me. And your observations on how I could do this so that it could be I could be doing it in a way where I could be more effective in the world if, you know. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Is your name RP or do you have another name? I'm just curious so I can refer to you.
I do these initials. My name's Rinal.
Renal?
Yeah.
Renal?
Yes.
Well, thanks for sharing, Renal. That is remarkable how similar your report is to Leslie's, right? You guys both started with the breath, switched to mental talk. That was hard, which triggered emotional body sensation, and then you switched to emotional body sensation. That's so remarkable. I'm curious, did anyone else take that exact path? Raise your hand in your Zoom thing if you did. So interesting. A few people. Yeah. I went from breath to mental talk myself. I didn't do that third step to emotional body. I stayed with mental talk for the second time. So I think a lot of what I mentioned to Leslie is probably relevant for you in that one thing that's happening here is I basically think you could practice if you practiced using thought as an object of meditation, your experience of the exercise would change. It's a skill unto itself. And it doesn't, skill with the breath doesn't necessarily translate very well to skill with talk, to skill with mental talk. So I think an important part of this is just spend some time learning how to meditate on the mind as an object of concentration. And, for example, you mentioned it was restful, but then you got totally lost in thought. That will happen less. If you develop some skill with this object of meditation, the thought will happen, but you're still there and you're just kind of watching it. It's like a parade going by, and the theme of the parade is you. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's definitely there. So there's this sub-skill that you could work on. And yeah, I mean, like I've said a bit before, it's very common that if you go to focus on mental talk, it disappears and you're left with rest. For sure, that's fine. As I was saying to Leslie, you would just focus on that rest. And I do think so, spoken labels, that's what we might incorporate that maybe into this next. I want to do another practice before this ends. Spoken labels would probably be really helpful. I think if you were speaking to yourself out loud, hear or rest while you were tracking the presence or absence of mental talk, you might have had a very different experience. So, practically speaking, spoken labels is like a huge help. That's the real answer to your one of your questions, which is how do I relate to this skillfully? I would say use spoken labels. And specifically, pay attention to two things. The pacing and the tone. Pacing is one every few seconds. So, like I said, yeah, you heard me do it before. If you can keep that up, you are therefore concentrating. It's kind of a baseline level of concentration. So the pacing is important. Once every few seconds, you just note whether you're talking to yourself or not. And then the tone. Say the labels out loud in a calm, matter-of-fact way. Mm-hmm. So it's here. Rest. Rest. It's calm and matter-of-fact tone. If you pay attention to the pacing and tone of your labels, it will help you relate to the thought skillfully, essentially. Another thing that I should mention is you mentioned that the experience of trying to focus on the thought culminated in a type of contractive experience. So another genre of meditation techniques that I love, I teach all the time, is called expansion and contraction. And there's a way to work. So I guess I'll just kind of leave a little, I'm not going to go into the specifics, but there's a whole way to work explicitly with expansive and contractive forces in that because that shows up in all sorts of sensory experiences. You get expansive and contractive forces. And I think that's a really interesting and fruitful direction. So keep that in mind. Or I guess, yeah, anyway, if you're interested, check out my app, Right Mind. There's a whole pack on expansion contraction, basically. I think that's all I'll say for now. Any reflections or follow-up questions?
Yeah, I've got one.
Yeah, go.
Did I pop out of thought and into the body because the thoughts were feeling overwhelming and I'm judging them as bad? And is it a matter of building up tolerance to the thoughts so that I'm not popping out of those and switching into the body? So i.e. I was noticing the thoughts, I was judging them, started feeling tension in my head, and then it started moving into my body.
Yeah, well, so that actually, before I answer that, that reminds me that another way, I mean, there's lots of different types of meditations, but what I would suggest is as much as possible, if you're going to practice the focus on thoughts, and you're doing this here rest tracking, as much as possible, try not to judge the content of the thoughts. I know that that's might be hard, but that's another example of the balance or equanimity skill. It's a core element of practice. The tone again of the labels can help. So by saying a word calmly and matter-of-factly out loud, that can actually help you relate to the thoughts in a calm and matter-of-fact way. To be clear, when we're doing this focus on mental talk, we are not, this specific exercise, there are other exercises, but the specific exercise, we're not interested in the content. We're not interested in what we're saying. We're not interested in meaning. We're purely interested in the sensory side of the experience. When does the talk begin and end? How loud is it? Where is it in space? It's a very raw sensory feed. You're just really, and that's what we're, that's the mode that we're in. What we're talking about, we could care less. That help? And then, and well, so in, to answer your question, that was kind of an aside. I'm not sure I would use the words jump out of the thoughts into the body. I mean, I think certainly with practice, you'll be able to stay with the thoughts and in a non-judgmental way, and you'll just watch this parade go by. And it's like, oh, this is kind of a boring parade. Or whatever, it's an interesting parade. It's just a parade. So yes, you will develop the ability to not judge your thoughts, at least the content of them. And that probably will not then trigger, or I guess what I would say is, it just, rather than like you jumped out of your thoughts into your body, I would just say the whole experience of trying to focus on your thoughts triggered unpleasant emotion in the body, and your attention was pulled there. Basically, maybe saying the same thing, but that's how I would word All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next, we have D.
I have,
Hi.
so I my forever difficulty is sleepiness, the sensation of sleepiness in my eyes, and then the I get dreamy. I go into dreamland, and you say something, and then I'm going, oh, I'm back, something like that. So the only thing that I have found that helps with that is to stand up, but I didn't do this time because I'm learning your thing, and so to focus on the sleepiness sensations was just like amplifying them for me.
Yeah. One, what about opening your eyes?
Yeah, I have them open. I mean,
You have them open?
I don't have them open like this, but yeah, I open my eyes.
Well, try opening them like
They
this.
usually close.
The more light, the physiologically, the more light you let in,
Yeah.
that physiologically wakes you up. So I'm not, once,
Well, I often meditate,
yeah.
period, with my eyes slightly open.
Yeah.
Pema Chodron says, open your eyes. We're do this to get to be awake.
Exactly.
So
That's great.
I often meditate with a slight open eyes, and then I open them more, but it doesn't do much.
Sure. So, I know what you mean. I have been distracted by sleepy sensations in the body, and if you focus on them, they get more intense and you get more sleepy. So, I think it's that's just in that instance it's kind of a dead end.
Okay.
You're dealing with sleepiness. It's this isn't the good strategy.
So then just stand up and
Stand
go from
up.
there.
Yeah, I mean, so also to be clear, I said at the beginning, let's establish a proper meditation posture, but in general, I was mostly what I was teaching was the way in which we were directing our attention. I'm pretty agnostic about posture, broadly speaking. So you're welcome to stand up if that helps you, or sit down, or walk, or lay down. You know, those are the common postures. So, yeah, if standing up helps you, then I would say you could do that and then just continue with the basic flow of my exercise of following
Okay.
distractions to. And I was talking, I've mentioned a few times now spoken labels to some other people. Spoken labels can also help with sleepiness. So, yeah, hopefully we'll have at least some time to get into spoken labels, but regardless, the basic idea is you just speak out loud what you're practicing, and that can help. It's literally vibrating your chest when you speak, right? So it can just help you stay awake. It's kind of like opening your eyes.
Sleepy, awake, or dreaming. What
Well,
are the words?
it depends on what your I have default labels depending on what your which object you're focusing on. So if you were focusing on I would define sleepiness as physical body sensation. So if it's sleepiness, it's that kind of falls under relaxation, which would get the label rest. So you could say rest.
Never mind if I would go, okay, thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else?
Thank you.
Welcome. All right, let's do two quick ones. Steve and then Vanessa. Steve, go ahead.
Okay, this should be fairly quick. Just wondering if you could expand a little bit on what you mean by mental imaging as distraction. Does that mean that the image should be of complete black, empty space? Because even when I try to image that, it seems that that's mental imaging. So maybe just expand on what you mean by mental imaging as distraction.
So, good question. A lot of meditation teachers say if you're distracted by thoughts, right? You've probably heard people say that.
It seems like,
It's
yeah, it seems like you distinguish thoughts from images. So I'm a little
well,
bit images.
yeah, no, I know. So, but Do you understand when if I were to say, okay, try focusing on your breath, and if you're distracted, you might be distracted by thoughts. You understand what I mean when I say that? It's just like the stuff that happens up here. So all I'm doing is I'm breaking up thoughts into two pieces. There's mental talk and mental images. Mental images is your imagination. So anytime you imagine a scene, and some people might, and this might be the case for you, some people have, you might think more in words or think more with your imagination. A lot of people have, there's a lot of differences in personality there, but basically anytime you're talking to yourself, that's mental talk, and anytime you're using your imagination, that's mental images. Those two sensory experiences combine to form what most people mean when they say thought. So is that helpful? I feel like there was another part of your question, but
I think I might have just taken it to extreme where any kind of mental image, for example, if I'm imaging the breath coming in and imaging my heart rate beating, that's mental imaging. Is that, you call that distraction? Or even
That's a yeah, go ahead.
imaging the pineal gland, imaging the, you know, the basic flame in the heart, the internal interoception type of imaging.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, I mean, you mentioned a flame in the heart. A lot of techniques explicitly ask you to imagine stuff, and the imagination is the object of meditation. Right. So if you're visualizing a mandala or something, it's like there's some traditional practices like that. The whole point is to create an image and focus on that as your object of meditation. So that's certainly not a distraction. That's like the whole point of the exercise. What you're saying is really interesting, where, like, okay, Toby, if I'm focusing on the breath, I notice that I'm actually imagining there's a very subtle mental image of the breath coming into my body and then out of the body. Is that a distraction? First of all, wicked clarity, really good clarity that you notice that. That's a very advanced thing to notice. It's a very subtle thing to notice. And it's a very deep insight into the way in which our mind works. Our brain is constantly producing subtle mental imagery of our body and the environment around us. It's part of how cognition actually works, is that there's internal imagination of our body in space, and it's very subtle and it's often subconscious. What I would say is, initially, perhaps at the beginning of a meditation, it's not necessarily something you want to get rid of. It can help you get concentrated, right? So if you use, you can imagine kind of breath coming into your chest and out of your chest, and that actually can help you focus on the breath itself. But at a certain point, absolutely, yes. That mental image is a distraction. Try to release it and directly contact the breath without any visualization, without any imagination of what the breath is or where it is in space. Just breath. And this is, that's one definition of non-duality, is when you can collapse or letting go of the subtle mental image that represents your object of meditation. Letting that go allows you to directly contact the sensory experience in its fury. So yeah, that's a really good direction. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Awesome. Great question, Steve. All right, Vanessa.
Hi. So
All right.
I do use the Bradman app actually since a couple of weeks.
Brad. Awesome. Oh, you're new. That's great.
Open
Welcome.
labels are like
Yeah.
for me. So that wasn't too unfamiliar. I observed today that I went for mental thought because that's my thing, right? I stayed with that also for the second, let's say, round. In contrary to, I wasn't judgmental. I think that lately, it's just a couple of weeks and it just changes so much for me. That's really amazing noticing that first. I had a full day before I landed here in practice. And I noticed the type, like looking at the detail of the thoughts rather than the content, I noticed that it felt like thoughts that needed to be said, but there was no space earlier in the day. So looking back at that, it felt more like processing, which was great, but not so much like an intentional concentration practice. So looking at the purpose of this practice, there was also, which even I don't know, but there was almost no, there was no rest. There was always like something happening, which was okay. But I'm curious about if I intentionally want to develop a certain skill, cultivate a certain skill, like concentration, and this stuff happens, is there something like a hierarchy in needs, maybe, right? So they open up space and everything's just pop up and they need to be seen and maybe it takes a little bit longer and that's fine. Or is there something, is it better to somehow that like better, right? Would you recommend to tune in with what's there and maybe shift the purpose of the practice throughout the practice, as I was like, okay, just let it happen. Or try to intentionally focus on rest, maybe trying to let go of the thoughts just happening, because wouldn't that be somehow judgmental? Or I'm a bit confused. Maybe you could help me sort that out.
Did you notice the thoughts after having their time in the limelight? Did you notice the thoughts calming down towards the end and more rest happening towards the end of the period?
They felt less let me remember the word in English. They felt a bit less articulated. And maybe a bit like slower, but there was not necessarily rest. So what I tried later just to explore was going in, okay, let's check every few seconds what's there. As I know from the labeling technique. And again, there was, okay, there's talk. So it changed a little bit in the quality, not so much. It did change a bit towards the end. So maybe it was just needed, which would be fair. What would I do then? Like, would I follow?
Yeah, really. So wonderful question. The first thing I would say is, there is something, you kind of talked about how rest and concentration were very connected and you kind of need rest. I'm not saying you said exactly this, but you were saying something like you need rest in order to concentrate. There is something to that. Which I could talk about more, but another way to think about this is concentration, or you could say mindfulness more broadly, is a completely independent thing from what's happening or what you're focusing on. So you can be mindful of the breath. You can also be mindful of thought. And your level of mindfulness can be very high. Your level of concentration can be very high, even if you're focusing on thought. Is completely independent things. And even, as I say, it's independent of what's happening. So you can be extremely concentrated even if there was a ton of mental talk or no mental talk or anywhere in between. It's just a completely separate dimension. And it's a little hard to describe, but if you practiced this, if you practiced a focus on the presence or absence of mental talk for a while, there would be a very distinct taste. It tastes like concentration. It tastes like when you're fully in your breath, but it's a different taste because you're focusing on something different. But you can have an experience of very heightened concentration, but you're focusing on a completely different thing. The next thing I would say is, one, your intuition that, especially after the end of a long day, it might make sense to focus on thoughts because they didn't really have time to think themselves out, and you kind of get that over with, and then you can focus on something restful and maybe experience that type of concentration. It's all concentration, but like maybe that sometimes the restful concentration is a bit more restorative, for example. That's really a good way to work. It's a wonderful strategy. So one way to describe that is like you just follow the concentration algorithm wherever it goes. It'll probably end in thoughts, which is pretty much the case for all of us, right? We're often, that's just like a very common distraction. You follow the concentration wherever it goes for like a half an hour, maybe change objects like two or three times. And then at the end of that, you're usually pretty settled. Your mind and body is relatively settled. At that point, you can actually like kind of go back to the beginning and like, okay, what do I actually want to focus on? Right? So you can like use the concentration algorithm to get generally focused and then apply that to whatever you want, whether that's the breath or something restful. But you kind of give, it's a way to hack your mind. So yes, that is a good strategy.
I did not necessarily feel there was a lack of rest in sense of like I want to experience that, but rather a lack of contrast. So there's like this, oh, now I notice this, now I notice this. Like I
That's
have.
still, you just keep saying here.
Okay.
Even if it's the same, even if it's the same content over and over again, you don't care. It's a completely, you're just here, 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 here.
Yeah, I was just wondering. It's like okay, if that's what I need for now, that's fine. It's
Yeah.
doesn't feel like an intentional concentration practice anymore. There was like not bad because
Yeah.
apparently like that was a good thing. I feel great, right?
Yeah.
So, I enjoy that. But like if I wanted to, if I were to, okay, let's because I do have a bit of a distraction thing going on
Yeah.
generally, and that would certainly be helpful to get that a bit like. More often, more intentional practice on concentration. So,
Yeah. And but I would say it'll feel concentrative if you're doing a spoken label every few seconds. Because you're not really lost in it. What doesn't feel concentrative is to get lost in the thought. But if you're able to maintain that present momentness, it probably will begin to feel more concentrative.
it did feel very present though. So that was. Just
Okay.
different from what I explored before. And then,
Yeah.
yeah, I usually do that in the mornings though, also, but
Yeah.
difference. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Great.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. We have a few minutes left. I honestly want us to let's just do like a micro practice. I call them snacks. Snacks are short meditations. Let's just do it for, can we? Let's just do 1 minute. Everyone, mute yourself and say hear or rest for a minute, depending on whether you're experiencing mental talk. So hear if you're talking to yourself, rest if you don't hear anything. We'll all practice this, which we talked a lot about. So speak out loud every few minutes the word hear or rest, depending on what's going on in your mind. Good. You can do that for 30 minutes and it'll feel cool, I promise. All right. So I think that brings us to the close of our session today. So fun. Such an honor to be with you all. Keep up the good work.